This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Very special edition of the podcast from the draft floor at the First Niagara Center in Buffalo. Jeff Patterson along with Province hockey writer Jason Botchford. The one, the only Botch, one round down, only seven or six more to go tomorrow. We get a little bit of a reprieve, but one round in the book and a fair bit to talk about.
Well, I mean, Canucks may take a week or two to mourn the loss of Pierre-Luc Dubois. I think both the Canucks and their fans are going to be thinking for a long time what could have been. And the draft was set up here for the Canucks to get a what they see as their future first-line center in Dubois. I don't know if you talked to him. I spent 10 minutes talking to him, and I was like, I was ready to draft him. I don't have a team. But the guy's fantastic. He's everything you want in a personality. He's whip smart, can play any forward position. And just when it was about to go to the Canucks' way, there at number three, Columbus goes off the board and passes on one of the big three, big ticket, gold ticket items. Puljujärvi drops to the, they take Dubois. Puljujärvi drops to Edmonton, and the Canucks are left with what? Like, not a lot of exciting things there.
No, they get Olli Juolevi, a guy who, you know, they had been linked to sort of as their plan B. And as this day unfolded, it became more and more evident that, you know, something might happen above them in the draft, and then Juolevi might be the guy that they leave this building with. And, you know, they get an all-around defenseman. But you're right. I mean, there's just kind
there's
of a sense
no sexiness of... No,
that's a great description. That's an absolutely great description. Nice kid. You know, I thought handled himself remarkably well in the media scrum and you know, gives us an idea that maybe he's got a pretty good sense of humor to live and play in a market like Vancouver. But you're right. The Vancouver Canucks got an all-around guy. When you're picking fifth, and you're supposed to be knocking, you know, balls out of the park at that position.
Yeah, I mean, they got a guy who, I mean, maybe you couldn't have got Juolevi at 10, but the defensemen, the next couple of defensemen who went after him are pretty close. I mean, he's more of a 7-10, I think, type talent than number five. So, you know, it's not often you're drafting the top five. When you are, you hope to get an elite guy, and maybe it'll work out. I mean, Jim loves him, and he's loved him since January. I remember in January, you know, the word got out, and talking to Jim and seeing him talk about Juolevi. I mean, the guy was jacked to talk about this kid. But back then, I mean, a lot happened since then, right? The team sucked. It bought him out. All of a sudden that they had, you know, they had the third worst record in the league, maybe a top three pick. Then they got pushed to top five. Still, they had a chance to get Dubois. And then they kind of ended up back to the start, you know, back to where they were back in January. So I think if things had gone differently this season and the team was a bit better and maybe it finished with the eighth or ninth worst record and they got someone, Juolevi or someone like him, I think that there would be a lot more, you know, better feelings that we'd be leaving tonight than here we are with their one pick who... He was a fine defenseman, and no question about it, they need D, but he's above average. Even Jim admits he's above average in every area, but as he said, really no separating skill other than his brain, Jeff. J-Pat, he's got this incredible mind, this Nick Lidstrom.
Oh, don't do it. No.
Jim said it. He went there, man, so I'm going to go there. He has a Nick Lidstrom mind for the game. And even Juolevi, I was talking to him, and he even said, yeah, you know, that's what puts me apart. It sets me apart. I'm really smart, and you can't teach that. And in a lot of ways, he's right.
Why does Jim do that to himself, though? I was standing there with you in the scrum, and the minute he utters the words Nick Lidstrom, and he did it very cautiously, and I know he wasn't making a direct comparison to say that this is the next Nick Lidstrom, but there are so many other defensemen you could use, you know, when you're trying to find a comparable for this guy.
Yeah.
Why do you go to the very top of the list?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure Jim has had a great great weekend of talking about things. I mean, we talked to Bergevin after the draft tonight, and he's still, I mean, he's pissed, and he said it. And I mean, he had this quote where he says Jim crossed the line and talking about the PK. He's not sure where the line is or was, but he does know that Jim crossed it in talking about Subban publicly.
what is our, we should have a running count now, like a taxi meter. What's our count at right now for Jim invoking the, I can't talk about other players after all of this. I think he's up to like three or four tonight alone.
Well, yeah, I think he may, I think he, we got it two or three in the scrum. He was on with Sakaris and Price. He must have dropped at least one or two there.
On the floor.
And then the great one at Sportsnet when, I mean, he just looked crushed. Like, he just looked like, you know, Elliot set him up with that, you know, what about this Subban thing? And, I mean, he just, the look, forlorn look on his face, he was pretty crushed when he had to admit he can't talk about it.
And the other part in all this.
Did he talk about anyone ever again? Like, he wouldn't even.
No.
I mean, I asked him what his board looked like and what he have taken. Like, this is stuff normally he'd bite on, right? I asked him, would he have taken Dubois at three?
No.
And he said, I can't talk about other teams' players. And I it was like, my shoulders drooped at that. I mean, is that our life from here on in?
Is that going to affect him in team meetings now moving forward in the scouting meetings as they try to figure out what they're going to do on July 1st? Is like internally in the behind closed doors? Can he talk about other teams' players?
I'm sure. I'm upset about the whole thing. I'm not sure who to blame. Like, part of me wants to blame Benny, but that's just Benny. Like, this guy was telling me this story that I met today. He's a Canucks fan, and he said he met Benning scouting, I think one of the London night games, and he just went up to him and said, hey, like, I'm a Canucks fan, so good to meet you. And Jim said, good to meet you too, do you want to know what I'm doing? And he opened up his folder, he told the guy who he's scouting, he told him what he thought about them. And the guy's like, holy shit, what's going on here? Like, this is too much information, but it's also amazing. And that's always kind of been my feeling about Jim. It's like, yeah, a lot of times you think this is too much information, but it's amazing. I almost blame, like, should I be blaming Sakaris and Price for this? I feel I should. I mean, I feel they should know better, that they shouldn't. Stamkos is okay, but you had to have known Subban was one step too far. I think that they could have couched their question better. You know, of course it's not their fault, but I can't help but blame them. Am I wrong? Do you feel that?
Well, I'm just wondering, did Jim invite this guy, this stranger? Did he invite him up to the draft table? Was he sitting at the draft table today?
No, I think he was in the stands. I think he was going to go, but his father-in-law was a Jets fan, so Jim said no.
This guy made the final pick on Ulevi, right? Maybe. Rock, paper, scissors? Three of them, maybe? He made the call. What about moving forward for the next day?
I can't even think about moving forward because there's no, they have no pick in the second.
No, I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm just talking big picture, 10 years.
No pick in the third.
We're going to have this direct comparison of Ulevi and Matthew Tkachuk for all time.
Yeah, and I mean, that's another interesting part is Tkachuk goes right after. He goes to Calgary, and it's going to be in our face for a long, long time. You know, the Canucks are not going to be able to escape that comparison. And we'll see how it works out. I mean, this is the reason that they brought Jim in. I mean, he's the guy with the scouting background. He's supposed to nail situations like this. He's the one that he said he had Ulevi at five and he had Tkachuk at six. And he was not, didn't seem to, I asked him, were you swayed when Tkachuk was just kind of like pouring in at will, pouring in goals during that OHL playoff run? And he said, no, you know, we knew Ulevi five. So
we shut it down for a night. We come back, do this again and again tomorrow morning.
Well, that's the other Vancouver thing. Like, they have
one of the first 130 picks tomorrow or something.
Yeah, but no, but like, there's no kind of effort here to think. I haven't seen any. Like, if I'm in the Canucks position and I'm going to be going hard, expecting to get a top free agent winger, I'm looking long and hard at trading Yannick Hansen right now. When I see Eller, are you kidding me? Go for 2 seconds? This guy's getting like $3.5 million for the next 2 years. Yannick Hansen already, to me, a better player. Yeah, he's a little bit older. But Hansen for the next 2 years is going to be far better than Eller is. And the Canucks, you know, they will not. He's an untouchable. Ryan Miller and Yannick Hansen are their two untouchables.
We're getting a little background music here. Maintenance man at First Nations Center. We're getting a little background music. I like it. No, it's a little ambiance for the podcast here. We'll shut it down for the night. Again, these are sort of these bite-sized podcasts we're doing from the draft. We'll do another one at the wrap, the conclusion of tomorrow. But again, I mean, tomorrow starts up. The Canucks have a third rounder. Nothing in the second round. They traded McCann. So nothing in the second. McCann and the second rounder. Nothing in the second. nothing in the fourth. So right. they have one That's pick right. in the first 130 picks or something tomorrow. There's going to be a whole lot more. What do they have, a deck of cards up there at the Canucks table? Like, what do they do with all this idle time?
I don't know. What are you going to do? You're going to have a lot of time to come up with puns with Durant. I saw you had that pun tonight about, what was it, the 2 seconds?
Yeah, Eller was traded to Washington for 2 seconds.
2 seconds. Not a lot of time to spend there. I was blown away by that. So, yeah, more time for you to work with Durant and work on your pun game. You know, are you? Do you guys live together? Like, what's your?
Yeah, we're bunking together on this trip. Yeah,
like the same room, or how does
not
it, you got
the
your own
same
bed?
Room?
I don't
no.
know. Like,
we got a sweet Airbnb deal. We're going. It's good. Everything's
it's
great.
A nice house.
Yeah, everything's working well. We're happy.
And who's there? It's like you, Trance,
Pat Steinberg out of Calgary.
Pat Steinberg out of Calgary.
Just three of us.
Oh, not Beecher?
No.
Beecher's not with you?
No, separate abode somewhere else.
Why was your whole crew so sure that the Canucks were going to trade down? What was that all about? Did you?
I cannot speak for the crew. I'm sorry. I'm not authorized. I am one of the
Canucks
crew.
Canucks Army went crazy on that
I
one,
know.
Right? They're tweeting it. They were writing blogs about it. But I wish it happened, but it didn't work out.
As you said this morning, this morning on the radio, like, honestly, there should be a moratorium now on all this talk about trading up and trading down in the first round of the draft and top 10. Like, it's such a romantic notion. It's always going to happen every year, and then nothing.
Trant said that no top five pick hadn't been traded on draft day
since
Luke Shen. So, yeah, it never happens. It's like, you know, I was saying this morning in the Pratt Show, it's like a shitty superhero movie. Like, the concept of it sounds incredible when you first hear about it. You watch the trailers, it looks good, people get excited, and then the draft happens, and you're like, like, today was among the most disappointing yet, right? Because there was so much talk, and a lot of it driven by Jim, and none of it panned out. And the biggest story really is these tampering charges against Benning.
Let's see where that one goes. You know? Let's see where this goes tomorrow.
And a Lars Eller trade.
Day number two of the draft coming up. Again, we'll podcast afterwards and see where the Canucks leave Buffalo with. If there's some activity, any activity, hey, we'd take just about any kind of activity from the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow.
Yeah, we have lots of time. So if the NHL wants to come down with their big fine on Jim, that's tomorrow, second round.
There you go. Call it a wrap. That's it for the podcast from Buffalo on night number one of the NHL entry draft.